So we're starting out chapter 22 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, called The Unexpected Task. Potter, Weasley, will you pay attention? Professor McGonagall's irritated voice cracked like a whip through the transfiguration class on Thursday, and Harry and Ron both jumped and looked up. It was the end of the lesson. They had finished their work. The guinea fowl they had been changing into guinea pigs had been shut away in a large cage in Professor McGonagall's desk. Neville's still had feathers. They had copied down... How come she picks on Neville so much? They had copied down their homework from the blackboard. Describe with examples the ways in which transforming spells must be adapted when performing cross-species switches. The bell was due to ring at any moment, and Harry and Ron, who had been having a sword fight with a couple of Fred and George's fake wands in the back of the class, looked up, Ron holding a tin parrot, and Harry a rubber hack. "Now that Potter and Weasley have been kind enough to act their age," said Professor McGonagall, with an angry look on the pair of them, as the head of Harry's haddock drooped and fell silently to the floor. Ron's parrot beak had severed it moments prior. "But I have to say something to you all. The Yule Ball is approaching, a traditional part of the Triwizard Tournament, and an opportunity for us to socialize with our foreign guests." By socialize, they mean...
What motion are you doing, Jesse? Could you explain for all our listeners at home?
No, we might have some children listening.
Is it inappropriate for children to hear what you were just doing with your hands?
Nope. Now, the ball will only be open to 4th years and above, although you may invite a younger student if you wish. Lavender Brown let out a shrill giggle. Parvati Patil nudged her hard in the ribs, her face working furiously as she, too, fought not to giggle. They both looked at Harry. Professor McGonagall ignored them, which Harry thought was distinctly unfair.
Why did they look at Harry?
I don't know, but they like him.
I bet they want to go with him.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you think they want to... Do you think they want a hand motion with him?
I think so.
They do not. They don't even know what it is.
I think they want to do something together.
Ew, they do not.
With Harry? You don't think they want to tag team him?
No! That just ruined the PG rating.
It did. I was talking about wrestling.
Yeah, you were.
Dress robes will be worn, Professor McGonagall continued, and the ball will start at 8 o'clock on Christmas Day, finishing at midnight in the Great Hall. Now then, Professor McGonagall stared deliberately around the class. The Yule Ball is, of course, a chance for all of us to let our hair down, she said in a disapproving voice. Lavender giggled harder than ever, with her hand pressed against her mouth to stifle the sound. Harry could see what was funny this time. Professor McGonagall, with her hair in a tight bun, looked as though she had never let her hair down in any sense. "But that does not mean," Professor McGonagall went on, "that we'll be relaxing the standards of behavior we expect from Hogwarts students. I'll be most seriously displeased if a Gryffindor embarrasses the school in any way." The bell rang, and there was the usual scuffle of activity as everyone packed their bags and swung them onto their shoulders. "Potter," McGonagall called over the noise, "a word, if you please." Assuming this had something to do with his headless rubber haddock, Harry proceeded gloomily to the teacher's desk. Professor McGonagall...
What's a headless rubber hat?
What's that?
It's a headless rubber hat.
Haddock.
What's that?
It's some, like... I don't know. Isn't that a fish, a haddock?
Oh, maybe.
I think they were... Remember they were wrestling or sword fighting or something?
Yeah.
Professor McGonagall waited until the rest of the class had gone and then said, "Potter... The champions and their partners..." "What partners?" said Harry. Professor McGonagall looked suspiciously at him, as though she thought he was trying to be funny. "Your partners for the Yule Ball, Potter," she said coldly, your dance partners. Harry's insides seemed to curl up and shrivel. Dance partners? He felt himself going red. I don't dance, he said quickly. Oh, yes you do, said Professor McGonagall irritably. That's what I'm telling you. Traditionally, the champions and their partners open the ball. Harry had a sudden mental image of himself in a top hat and tails, accompanied by a girl in the sort of frilly dress Aunt Petunia always wore to Uncle Vernon's work parties. I'm not dancing, he said. It is traditional, said Professor McGonagall firmly. You are a Hogwarts champion, and you will do what is expected of you as a representative of the school. So make sure you get yourself a partner, Potter. But I don't... You heard me, Potter, said Professor McGonagall, in a very final sort of way. He should ask Hermione.
I know.
There's no sexual attention there, right?
Right.
He's so dumb. If he's really nervous, anyways. A week ago, Harry would have said finding a partner for a dance would be a cinch compared to taking on a Hungarian horntail. Now that he had done the latter, he was facing the prospect of asking a girl to the ball, and he thought he'd rather have another round with the dragon. Girls are scary, it's true.
Why are we scary? We want to be asked.
I know.
We want to be asked so bad.
But you're so sexy.
All of us are?
Well, you in particular.
No, seriously, though. Like, girls are... I don't understand why boys think that we're so frightened.
Because, like, here's the worry.
We are so, so wanting you to ask us.
But you're not wanting every boy to ask. And we know that there are some boys that you don't want to ask. And, hold on. We're sitting there thinking, I'm going to ask her, and she's going to giggle and say no. And then she's going to go to her friends and say, can you believe that he asked me?
That's, yeah, I understand that. It's fair. But, like, mm-hmm. In all honesty, this isn't very, it's not very much salve on the wound, but... It's always flattering to be asked, no matter by who.
Right, I know, but the boy can feel really bad.
I understand that.
Because it's not just the saying no. It's you're worried that not only will she say no, but, like, it will be ridiculous to her that she would even consider going with him.
But, like... That's why you should also, like, gauge who you're going to ask.
But how do you know? That's the thing. Boys have no clue.
Well, the Hermione thing.
Right. He's lucky because he has a friend who he could ask, but not everyone does, you know. Did you freeze, Boo? I'm going to call you right back.
You froze and then disappeared.
Ditto. Alright, anyways.
Okay, but we were having a serious discussion about...
Yes.
The social inner workings of asking people out.
Yes.
And, let's just face facts. Who asked who out here?
I know. It's a good point. It's a good point.
So I understand. Like, you could have totally said no, and I would have been, like, mortified.
But I wouldn't have laughed at you.
You could have. Possible.
I guess. Yeah, you're right.
And that was, like, a super unsure thing. So you just have to go with your gut, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it may be worse when you're... their age, you know, 13 or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. But the other thing is, like, kids like that, I understand why, like, boys would be bad. Because one thing is, like, they may be reading the signs from a girl, right? But on that particular day, depending on, like, who the boy is, if her friends are watching, like, what she's worried people will think, or whatever, she could do something really mean. Because girls can be really mean.
Yeah.
So you just have to know, you know?
Yep.
The person. Anyway.
Harry had never known so many people to put their names down to stay at Hogwarts for Christmas. He always did, of course, because the alternative was usually going back to Privet Drive. But he had always been very much in the minority before now. This year, however, everyone in the fourth year and above seemed to be staying, and they all seemed to be obsessed with the coming ball, or at least the girls were. And it was amazing how many girls Hogwarts suddenly seemed to hold. He had never quite noticed that before. Girls giggling and whispering in the corridors, girls shrieking with laughter as boys pass them. See, that's annoying. It makes us feel terrible when you do that.
Why?
Because we think you're making fun of us.
Oh, we're sorry. We don't mean to. We're just really giggly. How we are.
I know. Girls excitedly comparing notes on what they want to wear on Christmas night. See, it seems like these balls are only for the girls, aren't they?
Yes, but you guys may get lucky, so that's the other thing. We decide how far. I went the. Never mind, I'm not going to put that on tape.
Why do they have to move in packs? Harry asked Ron as a dozen or so girls walked past them, snickering and staring at Harry. How are you supposed to get one on their own to ask them? Lasso one, Ron suggested. Got any idea who you're going to ask? Harry didn't answer. He knew perfectly well whom he'd like to ask, but he was working up the nerve for something else. Cho was a year older than him. She was very pretty, and she was a very good Quidditch player, but she was also very popular. Ron seemed to know what was going on inside Harry's head. Listen, you're not going to have any trouble. You're a champion. You've just beaten a Hungarian horntail. I'll bet they'll be queuing up to go with you. They probably would be.
Yeah, I know. That's why he keeps getting all those looks from the girls, because they all want him to ask them.
Right. In tribute to their recently repaired friendship, Ron had kept the bitterness in his voice to a bare minimum. Moreover, to Harry's amazement, he turned out to be quite right. A curly-haired third-year Hufflepuff girl, to whom Harry had never spoken in his life, asked him to go to the ball with her the very next day. Harry was so taken aback that he said no before he'd even stopped to consider the matter. The girl walked off looking rather hurt, and Harry had to endure Dean's, Seamus's, and Ron's taunts about her all through the history of magic.
Oh, see, look at that!
I know.
He was really mean to her.
He was. He was blindsided. He had no clue. You know what you have to do? You have to say, you go say, Harry, can I talk to you after class, after the school day? You know?
But I'm saying that you were, like, talking and defending your sex.
I know.
With all these little girls trying their best and, like, and it's harder
I know.
If the girl asks.
I know.
Harder.
That was very ballsy of her, and I feel bad for her. The following day, two more girls asked him, a second year and, to his horror, a fifth year, who looked as though she might knock him out if he refused. She was quite good looking, Ron said fairly, after he'd stopped laughing. She was a foot taller than me, said Harry, still unnerved. Imagine what I'd look like trying to dance with her. Hermione's words about Crumb kept coming back to him. They only like him because he's famous. Harry doubted very much if any of the girls who asked to be his partner so far would have wanted to go to the ball with him if he hadn't been a school champion. That's the other thing, yeah. That's a good reason to say no. That's a good reason to go with Hermione.
Yeah, well, why doesn't he fucking ask her?
Then he wondered if this would bother him if Cho asked him. On the whole, Harry had to admit that even with the embarrassing prospect of opening the ball before him, life had definitely improved since he'd gotten through the first task. He wasn't attracting nearly as much unpleasantness in the corridors anymore, which he suspected had a lot to do with Cedric. He had an idea Cedric might have told the Hufflepuffs to leave Harry alone, in gratitude for Harry's tip-off about the dragon. There seemed to be fewer Support Cedric Diggory badges around, too. Draco Malfoy, of course, was still quoting Rita Skeeter's article to him at every possible opportunity, but he was getting fewer and fewer laughs out of it. And just to heighten Harry's sense of well-being, no story about Hagrid appeared in the Daily Prophet. "She didn't seem to be interested in magical creatures, to tell you the truth," said Hagrid, when Harry, Ron, and Hermione asked him how his interview with Rita Skeeter had gone during the last Care of Magical Creatures lesson of the term. To their great relief, Hagrid had given up on direct contact with the Scroots now, and they were merely sheltering behind his cabin today, sitting at a trestle table and preparing a fresh selection of food with which to tempt the Scroots.
How do they keep growing if they don't know what they eat?
I don't know. Maybe they eat each other.
"She
just wanted to talk to me about you, Harry," Hagrid continued in a low voice. "Well, I told her we'd been friends. I'm losing it.
You got it.
I told her we'd been friends since I went to fetch you from the Dursleys.
Good job.
Never had to tell him off in 4 years," she said. "Never played up in the lessons, has he?" I told her no, and she didn't seem happy. Happy about it. I'm turning it to Russian.
It's okay.
"You'd think she'd wanted me to say you're horrible, Harry. Horrible. Ugh." "Of course she did," said Harry, throwing lumps of dragon liver into a large metal bowl and picking up a knife to cut some more. "She can't keep writing about what a tragic little hero I am. It'll get boring." "She wants a new angle, Hagrid," said Ron wisely as he shelled salamander eggs. "You're supposed to say Harry's a mad delinquent." "But he's not," said Hagrid, looking genuinely shocked. "She should have interviewed Snape," Harry said grimly. "He'd give her the goods on me any day. Potter's been crossing lines ever since he first arrived at the school." "Said that, did he?" said Hagrid, while Ron and Hermione laughed. "Well, you might have bent a few rules, Harry, but you're getting all right, are you, really?" Well, that turned into Irish.
"It's fine."
"Cheers, Hagrid," said Harry, grinning. "You're coming to this ball thing on Christmas Day, Hagrid," said Ron. "Thought I might look into it, yeah," said Hagrid, gruffly. "Should be a good do, I reckon. You'll be opening the dancing, won't you, Harry? Who are you taking?" "No one yet," said Harry, feeling himself go red again. Hagrid didn't pursue the subject. Maybe we should stop? What do you think?
Okay.
We'll stop there. I love you so much, kitty. Are you sleepy, kitty? You gonna go to sleep now? You're very cute. I love you very much. Yeah. I love you so much, kitty.
I love you, puppy.
I think I need you here.
Okay.
Sleep well, kitty. Sweet dreams. Good night.